So what does it mean if you've been in serious relationships on and off throughout your adult life, but you've still always kind of felt single? Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Scarlet Edit. I am your host, Nikki Corbett, and that is what we're going to talk about this week. First off, if you are not already following me on Instagram, I would absolutely love it if you would go and give a follow over there. The handle is @thescarlet.edit. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about this feeling of being single while in a relationship. Or I guess it's not a feeling of being single. It's a feeling of feeling single. So what does that mean? You know, when I said that, it is not something I had been thinking about. It wasn't anything that had crossed my mind. But then all of a sudden, the words came out of my mouth and I was like, what's going on? Like, wow, is that true? Is that really how I feel? Is that really how I felt? And in looking back, yeah, it was, it is, it was, it is, however, whatever you want to phrase it as. So the question is why? And the question is, am I the only one? And I think I already answered that question because, like I said, I mentioned this to just a girlfriend and she said, hey, me too. Our relationship histories couldn't be more different. She had a very serious relationship in her early 20s and, you know, over the course of some years was single, dated a bit, did her own thing, and then met the man that she's now married to and has some kids with. So for that gap, though, to look back and to be able to name a handful, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? No, I don't mean it like that. But I mean, to be able to name different people she dated short term, maybe a boyfriend that was around for a few months. And to realize like she still always kind of felt single too. And then for me, my relationship history is totally different. When I look back, I feel like I have had 4 significant relationships since college. But I will say in each of those, I always kind of felt single. And not single in the way of like, oh yeah, I'm single, I'm hitting the town, I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet people and guys and do all the things. I'm talking single in the way that I didn't always feel like the person. I didn't always feel like he had my back. I didn't always feel like I could completely let go. I didn't always feel like I could trust enough to be taken care of. And isn't that sad? I certainly think it is. I think it's sad because I don't know. I think that's the dream, at least for me. The dream for me is to have someone that I can exhale completely with, that I can feel like I can really, really count on them, that I can feel like they have my back no matter what. And there might be some people who hear me say that and go like, well, wait, what do you mean? You don't want somebody to be able to like call you out? Of course I do. If we're having a discourse in private, that's just the two of us. I want it to be radically honest. I want it to be very open. But what I mean by have my back is like in public, out and about in the world, I want to feel like that person's got me, even if I end up acting like an idiot or if I am being out of line. That to me is the dream, that he is my best friend, that he is someone that I look to and lean on for all types of things. If I'm having a bad day, like I want him to be my first call. Does that make sense? I want him to be my first call. So it got me thinking a bit more. Is this just how it is? Is this just, oh, well, this is what it is. You're going out in the world. You're dating different people. You're having relationships with different people. And you're learning what works and what doesn't. You're evolving as a woman. He's evolving as a man. And you're figuring things out. And I guess in a lot of ways, yes, that is totally fair. And then, because you think about it, right? You think about getting married. The divorce rate is over 50% right now. So you think about with marriage, it's like, is that just an out? Is saying all of that like, oh, well, we grew differently or we changed or he couldn't meet me at where I was able to give to or vice versa? And is that reason enough for divorce? I mean, I think honestly, that's a whole other topic, the whole like married and divorced and how people view marriage and the sanctity of marriage. So I'm not going to go too deep into that because I don't want to go down that path. Actually, that's a conversation I would really love to have with somebody else on this show. But for this, is that just maybe kind of how it all works? I mean, we all know, I've been very honest on this podcast. My last relationship was, I was the other woman. It was with a man who was married. So it would be very easy for any of you listening to be like, well, duh, of course you weren't completely fulfilled. Of course you had moments where you still felt single, because in a lot of people's eyes, you still were single. You know, I have wondered lately, actually quite a bit, because I've been getting more and more messages from you who are listening. And gosh, I love those messages so much. I am so grateful that you all have found this podcast. And I am so grateful that you trust me enough to reach out to me with your stories and to share with me how it is that you are feeling. That to say, I guarantee a lot of people think it's insane and maybe even get offended by the fact that I call my ex-boyfriend. I mean, I do, because to me, he was my boyfriend. I treated him like a boyfriend. I mean, he treated me like a girlfriend. So I do say my ex. And so yes, in that relationship, yes, he had a whole ass family. He had a wife. He had all of these things. So how was he expected to give, you know, to them and also to me? You know, it was tough. And that is certainly one of the challenges of being involved in somebody who has other people. Because we, most of us as women, even as men, we get into a relationship, and growing that relationship and moving it to the next level is usually part of the plan. And so when you get to that point where it is not moving, it is not going any further, then you can have these feelings of like, okay, well, I do feel like I'm kind of single. You know, relationships are so great at the beginning because they are, because that's like, you're getting to know the person, you're having all this fun. It's like, they call it the honeymoon phase for a reason. And then when you have to live together and share bills and do household chores. You know, one of the things that I absolutely hate doing, I hate taking out the trash. Is it hard? No. Is it something that has to be done every day? Also no. But do I hate it? Yes, I hate it. And I have been taking out my own trash since my divorce, you know, happened and I moved out on my own. And I can't wait till there's one day when I don't have to take out the trash. Now watch, I'll end up with a man who hates to take out the trash and I'll still be taking out the trash. But, you know, my point is, with saying all of this, is maybe that feeling of I've always felt kind of single, maybe that's just common. Maybe it's more common than I realized. Again, when I said that, it is not something that I had thought about. It just came out. So, and then when my friend said, hey, me too, then I thought, well, holy shit, like, should I think about this more? Is this something I should talk about a little bit more? Should we have a deeper discussion on this? Because maybe other people have felt that way too. And maybe that is just a part of it. Maybe it's just a part of it, but it's a part that isn't actualized. It isn't verbalized because there's so many other things that we're thinking about as we're involved in these relationships and figuring out, is this the right person for me? So with each of those men, it's like, what was available to me? And what was it that I didn't receive that caused that feeling of singleness, that caused that feeling of, okay, I have to take care of this myself. I have to take care of that myself. Does it boil down to trust, that I didn't trust somebody to do certain things for me? Does it boil down to that I'm simply, you know, attracting the wrong types of people, and how can I change that? Does it boil down to maybe I'm just picking the wrong people? Maybe I'm seeing something in someone. Maybe I'm seeing potential in someone and choosing to fall in love with potential than to fall in love with what's actually sitting in front of me. And then having these moments where I'm unable to access what I wanted, which was the potential, because the potential never materialized. I mean, maybe that's something. Maybe that's a part of it. I've never said that. I've never even thought that. That just came here, right now. Am I onto something there? Is that true that we put just more weight on chemistry and intimacy and having our needs met? So all of those thoughts are at the forefront of these relationships. And so it's more about that and less about how do I feel in this relationship? Do I feel like a mutual partner? Now, can I just caveat for a moment and say, hate is a strong word. I try not to use hate unless something I really, really hate it. So I strongly dislike that partner is now the main word to describe a significant other. And I don't understand why it's become so popular. I mean, I certainly get it. I get it. Because I was even, as I was writing out my thoughts for this, I said how I had felt that I never really had a true partner. And I feel like it gets convoluted though, because that's what everybody is using to refer to their boyfriend or their girlfriend or even their husband these days. And I don't necessarily agree. I don't think that, I don't know. I mean, is it strange to be 48 and to say, this is my boyfriend? I mean, I don't know. Is it strange to be 70 and say, this is my boyfriend? This is my girlfriend? I don't know. But I also don't want to be always saying partner. I just think it sounds overused. So is it that we're putting all of these other things at the forefront of our thoughts and figuring out, you know, hey, is this a person I can go on the long journey with? Is this a person I'm going to be sitting on the front porch in my rocking chair when I'm 80, hanging out, shooting the shit, talking about life, drinking a glass of wine? And is it more about all of that versus how do I actually feel when I am with this person? Do I feel single? Do I feel like I've got that companion, that best friend, that ride or die, that person that's got my back no matter what? Is that how I feel? And are we aware enough of those feelings? I don't know. What do you think? Tell me. I'm so curious. And then as we're going through relationships and feeling like we are alone or feeling like we are lonely, there's a difference between feeling lonely and feeling alone. Now, walk with me on this. Feeling lonely, I think, is a more of a fleeting feeling. You know, oh, I feel lonely. There's nobody around this weekend and I really want to go out. Oh, I feel lonely because even though I'm comfortable going out to dinner by myself, I'd rather not. But, you know, I just moved to this city and I don't have a ton of friends. Feeling alone, I think, is like, oh man, I really don't feel like I have anyone. And I don't really feel like I've got anyone that cares. That sucks. That's like the worst feeling. That's the shittiest place to be. And even if you do have family, if you have people in your life, sometimes if you're missing those key people, you can still feel really alone. So yeah, I kind of look at those two emotions differently, whereas lonely is more, it can come and go, whereas alone can feel more constant until you get some different people in your life to make you feel like you have a little bit more of a sense of community. This week's episode, once again, is brought to you by me. And if you're like, Nikki, what do you mean it's brought to you by you? We're here every week. We listen to you yap. Well, if you don't know, I do offer coaching in a one-on-one environment. I also offer 60-minute one-on-ones if you just need someone to talk to. Obviously, I am not a therapist. I am not a counselor, but I have been through some shit and I offer a judge-free environment for you to talk to somebody else who has been there. So just head to my website. There is a section called Work With Me. You can fill out the form and we can see what works best for you. Let's get back to the episode. So as we're going through these relationships and certain ones end, there's always a grieving process, a mourning process where you kind of sit there and you either feel bad because you were the one that was broken up with, or you feel bad because you were the one who did the breaking up. And, you know, I don't think that's always given as much credit is due for the person that has the courage to end a relationship, because it's really hard. It's really hard and it's really sad. And I will say, it feels really, really bad when you know that you're hurting somebody because you're choosing yourself, even when you know that choosing yourself is the best thing to do. And we've all been there. I was even talking with a friend last week who has a high school aged daughter, and she had been, you know, dating another high school boy, and she had got to the point where she didn't view it as anything romantic, and she knew she needed to tell him. So her plan was to tell him that day when they were getting together to go on a little dating outing. And I guess she got home and she told her parents, I was too scared. I felt too bad. I couldn't do it. And she like burst into tears. And God, it's like that broke my heart for her. But it's like, I get it. If you're listening and you've broken up with somebody, you get it. It sucks to know that you're going to hurt somebody because you're choosing yourself. But ultimately, you know, I am the biggest advocate of choosing yourself, because if you don't take care of you, who's going to? So naturally, as we continue on this path of life, this journey of life, we're going to have those moments where we do choose ourselves, and that does come at the expense of somebody else's feelings. And there are those grieving moments. So along this topic, I thought about, you know, grieving the relationship that you didn't get, grieving the relationship that you know you really want, grieving the relationship that you have dreamed of and that you hoped this relationship could turn into, but then it didn't. But if you're also ending it and realizing that you weren't getting what it was that you need or what it was that you wanted, you're not only mourning that relationship, but then you're also some ways mourning what you had wanted and thinking like, okay, well, am I ever going to get that? Is that ever going to come to me? Is that ever going to be realistic? Or am I just sitting here daydreaming constantly and hoping for something that isn't going to arrive? I think something that's not talked about enough is how much people grow and change. And it's almost impossible to teach it, because we don't know, we don't realize it until we're doing it ourselves, right? I mean, sure, is it something that we can talk to younger women and younger men about? Like, hey, you know, when you're getting into a relationship, it's so important to understand that you're going to continue to evolve. You're going to continue to grow and change. You're going to continue on this path of becoming that's going to have ups and downs and sharp turns that you never anticipated until you get to them. And you're the person that you're with is going to be along for those rides while navigating their own ups and downs, their own lefts and rights, their own massive changes that they never saw coming. So how are you going to navigate that together? I mean, I love when I see people that have been together for 20 plus years, and I am so grateful that I have some friends in my life who are there and who legitimately still love each other, who legitimately have a wonderful relationship, who legitimately continue to choose the other and support the other as they're on their own journeys of evolving and changing and careers and navigating children and all of the things that come along with being human. I love seeing that because it makes me believe that yes, it is possible. But then I'm wondering, like, how do you teach that? How do you teach that to a point where you can say like, hey, you know, it is okay if you get to a point where a relationship is just no longer suiting you, but to also not just call it right when one thing goes wrong. Because it's almost like if you're not willing to work for something, are you ever going to get what it is that you want? I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the relationship that I want for me. And all of us are different. All of us, what we want and what we feel will fill our souls, it's so different. You know, as I was talking through this a little bit with my friend the other day, you know, she made a comment that, you know, her husband is her true companion and she wanted to marry him because she loved him and she knew that he would be her guy till the end. She knew that she wanted to have children with him. She knew he would be an excellent father. She knew that they could have that lifelong companionship. But she put a differentiator between companionship and friendship. And I was like, okay, tell me more. And she said, well, you look, I've got you guys. I've got my best friends. I didn't need a man to come along and be my best friend, but I needed him for all of these other reasons and for the companionship and for knowing that he's got me. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting. And she's like, yeah, she's like, sometimes he's not my first call if I have something that I'm struggling with, because sometimes I know that I'm going to get better advice and somebody who can actually talk through it with me differently. Of course, I'll end up talking with him about it, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's always my first call, but I know that he's my ride or die. And so it was so fascinating hearing somebody else's perspective on their own life and what it is that they need and what it is that they want. So it got me thinking more deeply, okay, what is it that I want? Like, and do I really want that best friend? You know, in one of Taylor Swift's recent songs from her latest album, she said, I have a best friend. You know, she said, God, please give me a best friend who I think is hot. And I was like, yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I want. And so I think for me, that really is what I want. I do want that person to be my best friend, that person, that man. I want that man to be my best friend. And obviously who I think is hot. Isn't hot so subjective and just so much fun? Because we're all so different. And somebody who just really lights one of your friends on fire, you look at and you're like, okay, he's nice. Not for me. That's just the beauty. That's just the beauty. I love it so much. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm sitting here going, am I going to edit this all together and have it make sense? I hope so. I really hope that there was a good through line through all of this and that you guys are getting here right now and you're like, yeah, girl, we got it. We got what you were talking about. Oh my gosh. Well, as always, thank you guys so much for being here. I absolutely love this freaking podcast. I'm having the time of my life. If you have not already rated this show, please just go and tap it. Tap those 5 stars. It does help with the algorithm. It really does like make my day. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. New episodes of The Scarlet Edit come out every Thursday. We'll see you next week.